American Novel. Although Edward Eggleston was not a professional novelist when he wrote The Hoosier Schoolmaster, his book has won popular fame and critical recognition as the forerunner of the American dialect novel. The NBC University of the Air presents part one in a two-part treatment of The Hoosier Schoolmaster as another in the summer series of American Novels.
The people of the state of Indiana versus Schoolmaster Ralph Hartsook on charge of highway robbery stand adjourned until tomorrow at 9 o'clock. All those present leave the courtroom in an orderly fashion. Mr. Jail will take prisoner away.
Come on, Hartsook, follow me. You'll be glad to know we ain't touched a thing in your cell. It's just like you left it this morning. Highwayman. There he goes.
Take for three.
Schoolmaster. Huh, robber.
I like to get my hands on
him. I say get along.
Let him through. Let him through. Let the prisoner through.
This way, Hartsook. Through here. Sit in there. There. Now, Master Hartsook. Since you won't have no lawyer, I guess you'll just have to holler for me if you want something. I'll come a-running. Yes, sir. You're the first prisoner I ever had who was a schoolmaster turned highwayman.
Highwayman. Here I sit alone in my cell. I, Ralph Hartsook, accused of being a common thief. First day of my trial has ended. The trial I asked for when I gave myself up to the law. To clear my name or stand forever condemned. Now my chances look very slim indeed, thanks to the calculations of one evil man. Every one of today's witnesses was carefully rehearsed by him, and then put upon the stand to testify against me, to damn me and send me to the state penitentiary for crimes which I did not commit. All this because of one man. It began on a warm autumn afternoon, a few days before the opening of the Flat Creek School. I had been walking about the countryside, acquainting myself with my students-to-be. And at one farm, I fell to talking with a handsome young giant named Bud Means. And as I looked back, I realized that it was perhaps the most important conversation in my life.
You figure on being the new schoolmaster, do you?
That's right.
Well, now, you look kind of meek to me. It takes a right smart man to be a schoolmaster in Flat Creek, Mr. Hartsook.
You wouldn't want to scare a fellow now, would you, Bud?
No, sir, I wouldn't. But I think it's only proper for you to know that we're pretty hard set down here, Mr. Hartsook. The last two masters was driv off. Fact is, I helped thrash last one myself.
I see. And is that thrashing something you're proud of?
No.
Then why do you tell me these things, Bud? What's your reason?
No special reason. I just figure that you should know the honest facts, that's all. No offense intended.
I'm sure of that, Bud. And no offense taken if you are being honest. Honesty is one of the qualities that I prize above all others in a Christian.
Never seen how a poor unlearned flat cricker like me could lay claim to being much of a Christian. But, Master Hartsook, if you mean that about honesty, you and me, we ought to get along pretty well together. There's few honest men around here, and if you really are one, I'd like to shake your hand and be your friend.
We shook hands, Bud Means and I. There was something about his firm grip, his honest face, and his ready grin that made me feel that I had indeed found a friend. And I figured he was much more of a Christian than he imagined. As it turned out, Bud Means became the best friend I've ever had. Funny that the second person I met that afternoon in Means' farmyard should turn out to be my worst enemy. He came up on horseback.
Good afternoon. I think my horse is having a little trouble with her right front shoe. Bud, can you take a look at it?
Sure can, Dr. Small. Hush, you lazy hound. Hush. Here, let me have her, Doctor.
Well, this is very kind of you, Bud. There she is.
Don't mind the dog, Doctor. He's just a little worrisome.
Well, you know the saying. Barking dogs don't bite. How's the family, Bud?
Just fine, Doctor. This here's Ralph Hartsook, our new schoolmaster.
Oh. How do you do, Master Hartsook?
How do you do, Doctor?
I've heard about you. You're a stranger in these parts, are you not?
Well, not really. I'm from Lewisburg, about 30 miles from here. But I've been away in the East going to school.
How nice. And now you've returned to your native Indiana. Is that it?
Yes.
Well, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Tell me, Dr. Small, do you attend the entire Flat Creek District?
Yes, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it very interesting. Rural, but very interesting.
I guess you must find it interesting, Doctor, riding about day and night. Only some dark night you're going to get hit over the head by a night rider or a highwayman, riding all alone the way you do.
Perhaps, but I doubt it. The ordinary criminal is very stupid. Don't you think so, Master Hartsook?
You have me there, Dr. Small. I've never known any criminals.
I beg your pardon. Are you insinuating that I have?
Oh, no, sir. Believe me, I had no intention.
I'm sure you didn't. But the best of intentions can cost a man his life. In this country, few men live to make the same mistake twice. Remember that, Master Hartsook. Bud, how does that shoe look?
Just a little loose, Doctor, but not much.
Will it get me back into town?
Well, if you're careful.
Then I shall be very careful. Thank you, Bud. Good day, Master Hartsook. I'm sure we will meet again.
Oh, boy. My, that doctor sure does take good care of his horse. I couldn't find hardly a thing wrong with that shoe.
Bud, your dog doesn't seem to care very much for Dr. Small. And the dog and I agreed. For some strange reason, I disliked the doctor intensely. His face was cruel and his eyes were cold and hard. I didn't like him. And I was sure that he didn't care much for me.
Bud! Oh, Bud! Why don't you have the young man come in the house for refreshment, Bud?
Bud Means' mother was calling from the farmhouse, so he invited me inside to meet her.
So you're the schoolmaster. Wow.
For a rather glum-looking woman, Mrs. Means tried her best to be gracious and charming. For a minute, I wondered why.
Master Hartsook, well, then. You'll be taking a little refreshment with us, I'm sure. Might as well, you know. Fact is, you'll probably be staying right here with us for a spell. That's the way we do it here in Flat Creek, you know. We board the teachers round, first to one house and then t'other. So you might as well start with us, eh?
The woman was really wound up.
And I would most certainly like to have you meet my daughter, Mirandy.
Her daughter, Mirandy. Now I began to understand.
Yes, I'd like for you to meet my little girl. Mirandy? Mirandy! Fix yourself real pert there and come downstairs. The new schoolmaster's here, Mirandy.
Seems like every time we get a new schoolmaster, Ma makes sure Mirandy meets him first.
Why, Bud Means, how can you sit there and say a thing like that?
Coming. Here I am. Oh. Didn't someone call? I was in the kitchen churning butter. I thought I heard...
You thought you heard?
Yes, ma'am. I thought I heard somebody call.
Huh.
I guess I must have been mistaken. Excuse me, Mom. Excuse me.
Your daughter is very shy, Mrs. Means.
Oh, that weren't my daughter, Master Hartsook. That were Hannah, the bound girl. We saved her from a poorhouse. She's an orphan.
Then we have something in common, Mrs. Means, for I, too, am an orphan. I knew instinctively that I had said the wrong thing. But when I saw Hannah's frightened eyes and heard Mrs. Means' harsh voice, I felt a bond of sympathy spring up between me and Hannah. I had never been bound out, but I knew only too well the difficulties of an orphan's life. At last, Mirandy Means came down the stairs. It was very awkward. We were introduced, and I said I was charmed, and Mirandy... And she kept on giggling as we sat there. She said nothing, she just giggled. In fact, with the exception of one terrible day that was not too far distant, I have never heard Mirandy speak a single sentence. She just... The other girl, whom I had mistaken for Mrs. Means' daughter, served the refreshment. Hannah was very beautiful, even in her rough servant's clothes. I wanted to know her better, but I knew that was out of the question. The look in Mrs. Means' eye told me that. Well, it was good to know that I had made a friend of Bud Means. And little did I know how soon I would have to call for his aid. My first few weeks at school were rather successful, even if I do say so. And by way of celebration, I arranged for a spelling school to take place. In New England and most places in the East, they're called spelling bees. But in Indiana, they're spelling schools. Well, the Flat Creek Spelling School was to be held in the evening. And that afternoon, I dismissed the classes early, and I was sitting alone at my desk when... Come in.
Good afternoon, Master Hartsook.
Why, Shocky Thompson. Did you forget something?
No, sir.
Well, is there something on your mind, Shocky?
Yes, sir.
Well, is it something you can tell me about, Shocky? Is it something I can help you with?
They's gonna send me to the poorhouse, sir.
But I thought you lived with old Pearson, the basket maker. Can't Pearson take care of you any longer?
Yes, sir. But they's gonna send me anyway. That's why we came to talk to you, Master Hartsook.
We? Who's we, Shocky?
My sister. She's waiting in the woods at the edge of the schoolyard. She was afeard to come in unless you was alone. I'll call her now.
The boy stepped to the window and put his fingers to his lips. Shocky, why is your sister afraid to come to the schoolhouse?
She's a bound girl, sir. She ain't supposed to go off the place without leave.
I watched his sister leave the wood and come swiftly across the yard to the school. She was beautiful and graceful. And then I recognized her. It was Hannah, the orphan girl whom I had mistaken for Mirandy Means.
How do you do, sir? I'm Shocky's sister, Hannah.
How do you do, Hannah? Sit down and tell me all about this.
It's Shocky, sir. They're going to send him away.
Yes, he just told me, the poorhouse.
It'll be worse than that.
How do you mean?
They'll do to him what they did to me. Have him bound out to a farmer.
Bound out? They put Shocky to work? But he's just a boy.
Yes, sir, I know he's just a little boy. But they'll do it. That's why they mustn't get him.
Have you no friends who can help you?
No.
What about your relatives? Don't you have any kin?
No, we come from England. My father died 3 years ago.
Oh, and your mother, is she alive?
If you call being in the poorhouse alive. She lost his sight after my father died.
And she couldn't care for you and Shocky, is that it?
Yes, sir. Oh, please, sir. I heard that you are an orphan, too. Can't you help us?
Well, I'd like
to. Oh, I'm sure you can. I can't leave the farm, but you can get Shocky away from here and out of the county. They can't touch him once he's outside.
Well, I have friends in Lewisburg. That's in the next county, but it's 30 miles of rough going. I'd need a good horse for that trip.
Master, Tanner, think Marauder's coming down the big rope. He's heading this way, and it looks like Dr. Small.
Good. Small has many friends and several fine horses. Perhaps he can help Shocky.
Oh, no, Master Hartsook, not Dr. Small.
Sister, he's getting close.
Oh, we've got to go, Master Hartsook. Small mustn't find us here.
Hannah, what do you mean about Dr. Small?
Don't tell him that we were here.
He's getting closer, and it looks like he's turning his life. Sister, we've
got
to go.
Here, out the back way and through the thicket.
And you won't say anything to Dr. Small, promise me.
All right, I promise. Now.
And you will try to help Shocky?
I don't know. Will you be at the spelling school tonight?
Hannah, come on.
Yes, I'll be there.
Then I'll give you my answer tonight. As I waited for Dr. Small to ride up to the schoolhouse, I realized that I had become part of a conspiracy. I didn't question the wisdom of offering assistance to a boy in distress. But what were the real facts in this case? Why did Hannah make me promise not to speak to Dr. Small of their visit? And why did Shocky's eyes grow round with terror when I mentioned Dr. Small's name? But at that very moment, the omnipotent doctor was riding up to the schoolhouse. I had not seen him to talk to since that day at Mean Farm, although I had observed him riding across the countryside at all hours. And I wondered why he had chosen this moment to pay me a visit. He said he had just come by to ask about the spelling school that evening.
I never participate in the contest myself. I feel it would be most unfair for a person of education to compete against the natives, shall we call them. Don't you agree with me, Master Hartsook?
Yes, in a way, I suppose I do, Dr. Small. But many of the natives, as you call them, are very intelligent. You know, because I'm the schoolmaster, it's required that I participate, and I sometimes shake in my boots for fear I'll be beaten by one of my own students.
Really? I didn't know that any of your students were that smart.
Oh, yes. Take little Shocky Thompson, for example. Do you know him?
Yes, I do. A very troublesome boy.
Chalky should be bound out to a God-fearing Christian family with a good woman to mold his character. Someone like Mrs. Means, who has his sister Hannah.
Oh?
Yes, Mrs. Means would do a great deal for Chalky's character. Character is very important, Hartzell. My horse there has character. I can trust him and he doesn't sneak behind my back. Or perhaps you don't know much about character.
I really haven't given it much thought, Dr. Small.
I hardly believe that, Master Hartzell. However, if I were you, I wouldn't think too much about anything. You'd be much better off. And by the way, I don't know quite what it was that Hannah and Chalky said to you when they were here just now, but
Dr. Small,
please don't protest. I'm not blind, you know. I saw them scamper into the woods when I rode up. I don't know what they had to say, Master Hartsook, but I wouldn't think too much about it. As your doctor, I can tell you that it wouldn't be very helpful. Good day, Master Hartsook. See you at the spelling school. And may all your words be little ones.
That evening at the spelling school, my mind was in a whirl. I was determined to find out what there was between Hannah and Dr. Small. Why did she fear him? At long last, Hannah entered the schoolroom. I knew that she would be waiting for my answer. But when I crossed the room to where she stood, Dr. Small intervened.
Good evening, Hannah.
Dr. Small.
Hannah, it's a pleasure to see you again, my dear.
Hannah looked at me, her eyes filled with terror. We could not speak because Dr. Small stayed with her until the sides were chosen for the spelling contest. And then Hannah and I were chosen by opposing teams and seated on opposite sides of the schoolhouse, while Dr. Small sat at the end of the room, smirking and watching our every move. And Mirandy Means sat at the other end, giggling. Dr. Small continued to smirk. He was staring in a curious, overpowering way. First at me, and then at Hannah. What trick was in his mind? The contest began as the squire gave the first word.
The first word, I say the first word, is abate. Spell the first word, abate. Abate. A-B-A-T-E, abate. The second word is Abner, as in the Bible. Spell Abner.
Abner, as in the Bible. A-B-N-E-R, Abner.
I wondered if Small Abel, would keep us Abel. Apart all evening. How would I get to Abel. Hannah and give her
Abel.
My answer?
Spell Abel.
Abel, A-B-L-E, Abel.
The words were easy at first. I spelled them mechanically.
Abstain. Spell abstain.
Abstain. A-B-S-T-A-I-N. Abstain. The evening wore on, and the field began to narrow down. Small kept on staring at me. My nerves were raw. I began to run into trouble.
Commensurate. Spell commensurate.
Commensurate. C-O-M-M-E-S... No, correction. Commensurate. C-O-M-M-E-N-S-U-R-A-T-E. Commensurate. I could not afford to make a mistake. If I did, I would become the laughingstock of the community.
Dynamical. Spell dynamical.
Dynamical.
D-I, step down. Next.
Amazing as it seems now, Hannah and I were the only contestants left on the two opposing teams. Then I saw Small's plan for what it was. He had deliberately tried to unnerve me, force me to lose the contest and disgrace myself. And, as fate would have it, it was Hannah who spelled against me.
Dynamical. D-Y-N-A-M-I-C-A-L. Dynamical.
I looked across at Hannah. Never had she appeared more beautiful. Her broad, intelligent brow and her fresh white complexion made her an angel in my eyes.
Now, Master Hartsook will spell daguerreotype.
Daguerreotype. D-A-U...
Step down.
Next. Daguerreotype. D-A-G-U-E-R-R-E-O-T-Y-P-E. Daguerreotype.
I had been defeated by Hannah. Dr. Small licked his lips. But it was not his victory. It was a victory of love. When I looked at Hannah, I couldn't think. And so I lost the contest and the respect of my neighbors. This was the second step toward prison.
The winner, Miss Hannah Thompson. Yay!
Why Small allowed me to walk Hannah home that night, I'll never know. Unless he figured that he had caused enough damage for one evening.
I'm sorry about the spelling school, Master Hartsook. I hope you're not angry.
Oh, how could I be? It isn't the first time a schoolmaster lost out at an Indiana spelling school. And I dare say it won't be the last.
Nice of you to say that.
Anyway, we have more important things to talk about. Hannah, I'm going to help Shockey get away from Flat Creek.
Oh, I was hoping you would.
But you must tell me why you warned me against Dr. Small.
Because he's the one responsible.
For sending Shockey to the poorhouse?
Yes.
But why would he want to do a cruel thing like that?
To get even.
Even with whom?
Me.
Oh.
Oh, I can't tell you what an awful man he is. Oh, the way he looks at me sometimes. And I know he'll use his influence to put my brother in the worst kind of place. Unless he gets away in time. Oh, when can you take Shockey to Lewisburg?
Tomorrow, after school. It's too late to do anything tonight. I'll go to Bud Means tomorrow and ask him for a horse.
Well, do you think you can trust him?
Yes, as I trust my own brother. Or you, Hannah.
Oh, Master Hartsook.
I was truly in love with Hannah Thompson, and I felt that she loved me. That night I couldn't sleep, so I dressed and walked the fields in the moonlight. And I walked along the way which Hannah and I had taken earlier in the evening. Then, in the midst of my meditations, I heard horsemen galloping. There were three of them, and they were coming down the big road, coming closer and closer. They looked down at me as they thundered past, and an indefinable dread seized me. The horsemen galloped on, and I stood there, shivering in a nervous fear. And then another horseman came down the road. The lone horseman was Dr. Small. He checked his horse in his usual cool way and stood still for a few seconds, looking me up and down contemptuously.
Good evening, Master Hartsook. What are you doing out in this dangerous night air? I think you and I had better have a little talk about your health. I'll be looking for you.
Scene in the moonlight there on the big road filled me with apprehension. It was very strange, but I could not allow myself to think about it. There were other matters that claimed my attention. And I hurried back to my room and made my plans for Shockey's escape. When morning came, I was ready. I put a small revolver in my pocket and started for the schoolhouse. As I walked along the path, I looked for Bud Means. I needed his horse for the trip to Lewisburg in the afternoon. But as luck would have it, it was Bud's sister Mirandy who joined me on the path.
Mr. Hartsook! Mr. Hartsook!
She was alone, and for once she was not giggling.
Mr. Hartsook, did you hear about the robber last night? The highwaymen came and robbed the Dutchman's farm.
Highwaymen. Suddenly, I understood the scene on the highway which I had witnessed the night before. I had seen the highwaymen. And Small, what about Dr. Small? Was he one of them? But of course. Oh, what a fool I had been to stand there and let them recognize me. I wondered what Small's next move would be.
I heard Bud talking about him this morning. He's all over the district. Poor Bud. He sure is sore.
Well, I don't blame him, Mirandy. Robbery's a very serious crime.
Oh, no. It ain't that so much. I'm sorry about you and Hannah.
About me and Hannah? What about me and Hannah?
Oh, didn't you know? Hannah's Bud's girl. They've been courting for most a year. Hannah's Bud's girl. Well, I thought everybody knew that. He's sore because you fetched her home from the spelling school.
Bud Means, my only friend, turned against me because of Hannah. Hannah Thompson was Bud's girl. I had come between them, and now I had lost his friendship. And now what would happen to poor little Shockey? He was depending upon me, and I was helpless without Bud. Throughout the day, Bud sat in class and eyed me in a curious fashion. And it wasn't until after school that I was able to talk to him alone. Bud, I need your help.
I don't know as I can give it now, Master Hartsook.
But, Bud, I didn't know what I was doing.
That's what they all say, Master Hartsook.
Bud, you must believe me. I swear to you I meant no harm.
Maybe, Master Hartsook, maybe. When you first come here, I thought you was an honest man.
I am, Bud. I am an honest man.
Maybe. But a lot of folks say that you know more than you ought to about last night's robbery over at the Dutchman's farm.
property at the Dutchman's farm.
That's right. Some folks claim you were seen on the highway.
What they claim is true, Bud. I was on the highway. But that doesn't mean that I committed a robbery. No matter what people say, I'm innocent. But what's more important now is that I apologize to you for walking home with Hannah.
Hannah?
Yes, I give you my word, Bud. I will never see Hannah again.
Mr. Hartsook, it's some kind of a mix-up here. I'm right concerned about the robbery, but I don't give a hoot about what happens to Hannah.
You don't care?
No, I don't.
But your sister, Mirandy, she said that you were angry because I took Hannah home from the spelling school. She said that Hannah Thompson is your girl.
Mirandy said that? Look, Master Hartsook, if you was to say to me that my sister lied, I'd whup you till your hide wouldn't hold shucks. But let me say that you can't believe a single word said by her or any jealous female.
You mean there's nothing between you and Hannah?
Never was and never will be, with all respect for Hannah.
Oh, Bud, you don't know how happy this makes me. Bud, will you help me save a little Christian?
Well, if you figure I'm the fella you want. But like I said the first day we met, Master Hartsook, I never seed how a poor unlearned critter like me could lay claim to being much of a Christian.
Remember, Bud, that Jesus himself was a sort of flat cricker. The people in his town were unlearned. And the very name Nazareth meant bush town.
And you think maybe he'd have me as a Christian?
I'm sure he would, Bud. What you've got to do is make sure that you live and work in his ways.
Could I begin now?
Yes, you can begin right now by helping me save Shocky Thompson and get him away to Lewisburg. Believe what you will about me, but we must save that boy. Will you help?
Doggone, Mr. Hartsook. I guess I was right that first day when I figured you for an honest man. Doggone, I don't care what people say. You offered to get up Hannah because you thought she was my girl. That's more than I'd have done by a long shot. Then you turn around and try to help me be a Christian. Master Hartsook, I say such a man must be all right. You can't be guilty of no crime, no matter what people say. And you can count on me to help save Shocky.
Master Hartsook!
Shocky, what is it?
Master Hartsook, there's a mob getting ready on the bend road. They're coming this way, and they're coming after you!
Yes, they were coming after me. It was Dr. Small's work, as you might imagine. He and his henchmen had incited a mob. And if his plan had succeeded, I might have been hanged from a tree in my own schoolyard. But I have lived to tell my tale. Tomorrow I will leave this prison cell and I will face Dr. Small in court. And who knows what tomorrow may bring?
The Hoosier Schoolmaster by Edward Eggleston is one of America's novels, brought to you each week by the NBC University of the Air. Listen next week for the final episode of The Hoosier Schoolmaster. And remember that there is a world of entertainment and information to be found in your local public library. Many American novels in the 1947 summer series are included in the useful handbook of the world's great novels, which you may obtain by sending 25 cents to World's Great Novels, Post Office Box 30, Station J, New York 27, New York. That's Post Office Box 30, Station J, New York 27. The Hoosier Schoolmaster is adapted for radio by Richard E. Davis. The music was composed by Emil Soderstrom, and the orchestra was directed by Bernard Bergquist. The entire production was under the direction of Homer Heck. Ralph Hartsook is played by Harry Elders, Hannah by Gene Mowry, Bud by Hugh Rowland, Shocky by Stuart Slam, Dr. Small by Boris Aplon, Mrs. Means by Harriet Allen, Mirandy by Elmira Ressler, the Squire by Cliff Sevier, and the Jailer by Cliff Norton. This is Don Elders. This program comes to you from Chicago and is a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.